Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 799. It's the 12th of June 2017. On the podcast today, I have Louis Coetzer, CEO of Kibo Mining, answering private investors' submitted questions. Also on the podcast, Jim Williams, CEO of Ariane Silver's AGQ, discusses what their recent fundraise money will be used for. Plus, I also have, as always, the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Louis Coetzer, CEO of Kibo Mining. That's K-I-B-O. Louis, thank you for joining me.
Morning, Justin. Nice to be talking again.
Yeah, well, listen, we've got some private investor questions here submitted by, obviously, investors of the company. So we'll get to those in a bit. But for people listening to the podcast who've never heard of Kibo or brand new to the podcast, Louis, explain what Kibo Mining is all about, please.
In short, Justin, Kibo Mining is a junior development company with all its assets in Tanzania, where we are at the moment developing three flagship projects, most notably our coal-to-power project, 300 megawatt coal-to-power project in the south of Tanzania, and also the Imweru and Lubando gold projects, recently spun out into a separate listed vehicle called Katoro Gold, and then also our nickel project in the middle or in the central part of the country, our Haneti Nickel Project.
Yes, you've got a lot going on there, Louis. Excellent stuff. All right, let's start with the first question. Can you explain exactly what the reverse takeover is and what the benefit this deal will bring for Kibo shareholders?
Well, there's a long answer, and I'll avoid going there, so I would refer people to the readmission document, which is posted on the Katoro website, which explains the deal in detail. But in short, what it means is that Kibo has reversed its advanced gold projects in Imweru and Lubando into Opera, and in that process it constituted or created a reverse takeover of Opera, and Kibo now holds a position of 57.1% of the shares in Opera, and with the rest being distributed over a large number of shareholders. What it means for Kibo, as I've explained quite a few times in the past already, we now have a situation where we have the Imweru project specifically, but also the Lubando one, but the Imweru project specifically in a position where we can put it on an accelerated development path and be in a position where we can hopefully, subject to the feasibility outcomes, of course, be in a position where we can put that in production within 18 to 24 months. It also puts us in a position where that project now has an ability to fund itself, to look at funding for itself without further diluting shareholders in Kibo. So it also forms part of a original strategy of Kibo where when we put all these projects together way back in 2012, we said we're going to put a basket of projects together, bring them to a point where they are able to stand on their own feet, and then spin them out into separate entities where they can create optimal value for our shareholders.
Yeah, so it's almost like realizing value, intrinsic value in itself as a project, rather than being part of one big sort of homogenous sort of mixed up project, I suppose, isn't it? It just realizes the value properly, doesn't it?
Indeed, exactly right.
Okay, next question. Will President Magufuli enforce the rule as a condition of the special mining license to force management to IPO 30% of the company on the Dar es Salaam Stock Exchange?
The answer to this question is it's not that simple. It's not a yes or no answer. The mining legislation, the Mining Act at the moment, makes it clear when you apply for a special mining license that you are required at a certain point in the development of that project to also list 30% of that on the local stock exchange.
Yeah.
However, in our case, we don't know whether that's going to be required of us. And the only reason is because this is a strategic project. It's a strategic development and a strategic energy project for the country. So we just don't know. We don't know whether it will be required or will not be required. We'll see as we go along. But, and this is the important part, it doesn't matter. It's not something that will be to our detriment, or it's not something that will create any concern for us. Because if we do list 30% of the project on the Dar es Salaam Stock Exchange, it will be at comparable market value, and it will be to local shareholders in the country, which is, in my opinion, quite important, and will only support the project and will only put us in an even better position. So as far as we're concerned, we totally relaxed about that. Whether it is or is not required is not something that is a material issue for us at this point.
Got you. Okay. Next question is, why are there delays in receiving the environmental social impact assessment and the special mining license? It seems that to me that others are receiving these licenses. Why aren't we?
First and foremost, the question is not put in the right way, because it's an assumption. There is an assumption that there are delays. There are no delays on the project. This is a normal process that we're going through. We also have to keep in mind the fact that this is a fairly comprehensive project. It's an integrated project. Therefore, there's a lot of interaction between the various departments to make sure that we deal with all the various elements of this in a proper manner. It is developing. It's going at pace, as we've reported several times in the market already. The fact that the statement is being made that there are delays is just an assumption. As far as we are concerned, there are no delays at this point in time. It is taking a little bit longer than what we expected it will take, but it's not because there are any delays. It's just because it's a complicated process. It is progressing. It's going well at the moment, and there's nothing that we are aware of, and I've had as recently as yesterday interaction with the relevant departments in Tanzania, and there are no delays that we are aware of. It is progressing, it's going forward, and it will be concluded as soon as possible.
Okay. All right. Next question is, when are we expecting the power purchase agreement to be finalized?
This is quite an important question. I cannot give a definitive timeline in terms of when will it be finalized. The important thing is to go back to the announcement that we've made on the 1st of June, where we've announced the fact that we've received a reconfirmation from the government in the form of the Ministry of Energy and Minerals to proceed and expedite the process of developing the MCPP. This is a massive step forward, given against the background of the policy and management changes that we experienced over the last 6 months. With that in mind, again, what we said in that RNS, we expect an accelerated process to get this done. And what I'm really pleased to report, if I can put it that way, is that we've seen a definite effort from the government side to do exactly what they've asked us in that letter. We've seen a definite increase in activity and in intensity in moving the process forward, and we will keep the market informed on progress as we go forward from here.
Okay, marvellous. And last one is, what is the time frame to get the Mbaya Coal to Power project operational?
Well, I have answered this question so many times in the past, but I'll try and answer it again. The process, or not the process, the timeline for us to complete that project is determined by the date on which we sign the PPA and on which we conclude funding. If we conclude, for argument's sake, let's to try and put this in perspective. If we conclude, if we are in a position where we sign the PPA today and we are able to conclude funding tomorrow, just for the sake of argument, we are in a position to deliver the entire project within 36 months. The factor that we don't have control over at the moment is, when are we going to conclude that PPA and how quickly can we conclude funding negotiations and discussions after that. Important to note, this is a very important thing to understand, is the fact that as we develop the PPA, as we continue with the work that we're doing at the moment, we are also constantly engaged in parallel with various interested parties on the funding side of it as well, to make sure that when we sign that PPA, when we get it in place, we can conclude the funding side of it as quickly as possible after that.
Marvellous stuff. Okay, Louis, well, thanks for that. I'm sure private investors are glad of you answering those questions. And if anyone's listening right now and they're not following you and they think they should be following you, give them three reasons, Louis, why they should hit that follow button on your page, please.
I will repeat what I've said in the past. Kibo is still well on track with the various projects that it's developing in Tanzania. The recent conclusion, first and foremost, of the spin-out of the gold projects is evidence of that. That project is well underway, and we are actually ahead of schedule, as we have announced in the RNS a week or what ago, in terms of the feasibility work there. That's a project that has got a clear line of sight towards production. We have the same situation as far as the coal mine on the Mbeya project is concerned, as well as the power station in the Mbeya power station at the same time. So there are three projects, clear line of sight towards eventual production. Two of them, both the mining opportunities with a good and quick return on investment, we believe, should we be able to conclude them. And then in terms of the power station, a good long-term annuity type of income.
Excellent. Louis, thanks for joining us. And listen, like I said, you've got a lot going on there at Kibo and without the project, so no doubt we'll speak again very soon. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Jim Williams, Chief Executive Officer of Ariane Silver. That's AGQ ticker. Jim, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Justin, thank you very much and good morning.
Yeah, well, I've seen of late quite a bit of interest there being picked up with your company. And I know you recently raised some funds. And we'll go into some of the news that's come out recently. But before we go into that, Jim, for people not aware of Ariane Silver, can you, give a brief summary as to the company, please?
Okay, right. So in a nutshell, Ariane Silver in its current form is roughly 12 years old. Formed in 2005, listed on the AIM market in 2006, and shortly thereafter on the Toronto Venture Exchange. We've now delisted from the Toronto, and just to save, at the time, cash. And basically, silver, lead and zinc in Mexico, and more lately, lithium. We've been through the mining process. We've actually had a mine in Mexico, which unfortunately we were commissioned in concurrently with the significant drop in metal prices, specifically silver. So again, most investors will know we don't have that mine anymore, but we've come out with a clean slate, $32 million plus interest written off the slate. And as a goodwill gesture, the financiers at the time give us $750,000 to help alleviate and untangle the complexity of what is a Mexican setter. So, we are, in my opinion, in quite a good setup situation right now to go forward.
Yeah. So I'm looking at your website here, and you've got there lithium projects and silver projects. So where do you want to start first? What is your focus to you, Jim?
Well, the focus right now is lithium, because we have the silver projects, which got lead and zinc as well, and in some cases gold. So they're all 100% owned by us, the company, through our wholly owned Mexican subsidiary. Mm-hmm. What we have as well, as you know, more recently, is lithium, and we have an option on three significant lakes called Salas, all within the Zacatecas state region, and covering more or less 1,600 hectares. So that's what we've been concentrating on this couple of months or so. But notwithstanding and not forgetting our initial properties, which we had from listing times, over 10 years ago, they are still there. And, we have done work on them. We're doing some more minor work on them. But right now, given the lithium interest, specifically from China, and the rising price of lithium, specifically lithium carbonate, we're now really concentrating most effort on our lithium assets.
Yeah, yeah. So you recently raised about gross, what, £600,000 at half a penny there. And so is that, and that's going to be used specifically to do what then, Jim?
Well, that's right. We raised £600,000 gross. That money is going to be used primarily for further detailed exploration on the mainly on the lithium projects, with a, you know, with a small allocation to the silver and lead and zinc projects. What we're starting very shortly now is an auger drilling program in these ancient lagoons, as I mentioned before, called Salars. And we expect to start that drilling program within the next 10 to 14 days. So we right now, you know, we are finalizing the contract with the drill supplier. So, you know, so far we've done a lot of surface exploration on these lithium salars. But we expect geologically that the greater concentrations of lithium to be deeper seated. And many of these salars are typically 15, 18, 20 meters deep. So, you know, we need to drill down to that kind of that depth to hopefully get the concentration of grade. What we've got so far on the surface, which we released in an RNS a couple of weeks or so ago, are merely indications of the presence of lithium on the surface. We didn't expect to have fantastic high grades at surface, and you never do, but it's deeper down, which is the follow-up program, where we do expect to have the, you know, the better grades.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you've done some sample work there, like you said, and you've released an RNS, and so that's given you the confidence to go drill down deeper. And so you say you're starting that in 10 to 14 days, a couple of weeks. And so when will you know the results from that there, Jim?
Well, basically, the drilling program should take 4 to 6 weeks to do, you know, do everything we want to do. Because, you know, 1,600 hectares at the end of the day,
yeah,
spread over three concessions, is quite a lot, you know, a large landmass. And so get the drill rig set up, the auger rig set up, do the drilling, you know, from a compliancy point of view, get everything done correctly, then submit the samples for analysis, which that itself will take 2 to 3 weeks. So, you know, within 2 to 3 months from now, we should be getting the first batch of assay results back from the drilling.
Okay, excellent. And what would you like to see there, Jim?
Well, I'd like to see very high concentrations of lithium deeper down, which incidentally we're expecting, because when we look at all the surrounding concessions with certain companies, especially most of the Canadian companies who are a stone throw's distance from us, the geological model is suggesting that lithium does increase as you go deeper into these old saline deposits. These are essentially percolating brines. Mm-hmm. So they're coming up from, you know, deeper within and depositing within the old, what are ancient lagoons, which are now dried up. So, you know, typically we're expecting to have, you know, maybe 1,000 ppm, 2,000 ppm concentrations of lithium. That's parts per million, which is actually quite a significant quantity of lithium, which is really, from a mining perspective, a very simple dig it out and simple operation with a front end loader, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So you were just saying that. I mean, so are there other companies around in that vicinity doing the same, looking at lithium as well?
Yes, well, nothing from the UK, but certainly lots of US companies and Canadian companies,
okay,
such as Alcet, and there's quite a few others, you know, which are really not, you know, a stone throw's distance away.
Excellent stuff. Okay, anything else going on, Jim, that you think may be of interest to potential, you know, researchers, investors in the company?
Well, look, I think the news flow should be coming out in droves as we go forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the key thing, you know, in this market is we have enough finance, okay?
Yeah.
So we have a very good backer, we have a very good broker who's very supportive of us, and we have some funds who, you know, who are continually believing in the story, mm-hmm, and supporting us. So basically, with the news flow, which, you know, we get news flow, You need to do work, and to do work, you need to have finance, okay? They all go part of a parcel. So we've got the finance in place now. We've got enough finance to do certainly enough, you know, significant exploration for the next 12, sort of 6 to 8 months, okay?
Yeah.
So that's exactly what we're going to do. So news flow is key, and then let's get the share price up and get some, you know, investor interest in this stock once again.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Jim Willison. On Vox Markets here, I do like to highlight the top five most followed companies every day in the podcast. And to get in that list, a lot of people have to hit the follow button. So if anyone's listening right now and they like what you're doing there, like the sound of it, but they're not following you, could you give them three bullet points as to why they should hit that follow button, please, Jim?
Right, well, look, we're experienced in Mexico. We've been in Mexico for nearly 12 years now, albeit only in the last 4 to 6 months with lithium. So we've got the logistics set up there. We've got the team set up there. The management team is a very experienced team, well rehearsed in Mexico and with all the contacts. We're in a good financial position now to get the next step of exploration underway. And look, you know, we're expecting to have good results from these lithium projects from seeing what our neighbours are getting. So the stock is priced accordingly. It's significantly low. So this is really a penny stock right now to get people in, whereby in the very near future, this, you know, doubling your money, trebling your money shouldn't be a significant issue, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Marvellous, Jim. Well, like you said, you're coming into a period where you have some news flow. So hopefully we speak again very soon.
Okay, Justin, thank you very much for your time.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at 5, 7 Digital, that's 7DIG. At 4, Amrit Pharma, AMYT. At 3, Asian Met Resources, ARS. At 2, Andalas Energy and Power, ADL. And number one, it is the most followed company on Vox Markets of all time. It's Ascent Resources, AST. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.